Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Do chickens make good pets? And more importantly, do city people make good farmers? A growing number of North Texans are finding satisfaction in the daily care and feeding of small flocks of hens, not to mention a steady supply of fresh and often organically grown eggs. So what does it take to raise healthy chickens at home? And what should would-be farmers understand before taking the plunge? Sarah Perry is a journalist and backyard chicken farmer and gardener who lives in Dallas. Leslie Finical-Halleck is general manager of North Haven Gardens, which sells supplies and offers classes to prospective chicken farmers. She also raises birds herself in her home in Little Forest Hills. Sarah, Leslie, welcome to Think.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
Thanks.
So the big question here, which is either the simplest one to answer or the hardest, is why do people want to raise chickens who do not live in a rural environment?
Well, I'll go first, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of reasons. I think that this type of economy brings out the urge for people to want to take back control of the food they're eating, of what goes on in their home. They want to reconnect with nature. They're spending more time at home. So growing food, vegetable gardens is always going to become more popular during these times, and we've seen a huge surge in that, and people wanting to grow their own food. And personally, for me, I see urban chicken keeping or backyard chicken keeping as a component of a sustainable local food system. So people who are interested in taking back that control over their own food, it's actually very natural to incorporate small backyard flocks of chickens for eggs and manure for the garden. It all works together, especially if you're composting too. So I think when times get tough, people have an urge to get back to the basics, and that's definitely what it is for me and a lot of the people that I know that keep chickens.
Sarah, does that jibe with your experience? You just sort of wanted to have control over what you were eating and feeding your family?
Somewhat, although we have a family of five and we have four chickens, and so four eggs a day, even if we ate, you know, it's just we don't get enough eggs to really make that much of a difference. But it does help, and it's a learning experience for the kids. It's a way to kind of get back to closer to, you know, raising the food that you're going to eat.
With four hens, what kind of a time commitment is required on a regular day?
Not a lot. We water them every day, especially in very, very hot weather. Of course, we feed them every day. But as it gets really hot, water is more important almost than food. We go collect the eggs every day. We clean the cage, not the coop, not really every day. We sort of check it out, make sure it's comfortable and dry. We probably once a month we do a really good cleaning. So it's really not, they're really actually easier in a way than other pets I've had, dogs and cats. There's not as much of a, I don't know, you don't have to pay attention to them as much.
So as long as they've got what they need on a regular basis, they're okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at about a 5-minute investment every morning to take out the food, check the water, see if you can get them to play with you a little bit. You know, that's always fun. And then I do a once a week clean out on the coop, and it all goes right into the compost bin. So really, you can spend as much time or as little time as you want with them. And there are varying degrees of pethood for chickens as well.
Right.
So if you've hand-raised your chicks, they're going to feel a lot more comfortable with you and want a little more attention than perhaps chickens that have been raised from pullets or a little bit older that behave a little bit more like traditional livestock. So you really get to decide how much time you want to spend. But on a day-to-day basis, you're looking at about 5 minutes with about 30 minutes on the weekends to clean out the coop.
Do they have personalities?
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
I'll bet all your chickens have names.
Oh, yes.
All of our chickens have names. They all have distinct personalities, and different breeds have different personality characteristics as well. So just like any other family pet, whether it be dog or cat, you're going to get that. And I'll say back to the maintenance aspect, I'll take cleaning out the chicken coop over the litter box any day.
That's right.
I don't touch it. The husband gets the cat box. I get the chicken coop. So,
yeah. Got a rake and a wheelbarrow, and you're good.
Mm-hmm. And the city of Dallas, and you both live in Dallas, allows for hens, not roosters.
Correct.
Is that correct? Did you feel like you needed to go around to your neighbors and say, by the way, I'm thinking about doing this? Or did you just go ahead and do it and figure that they could knock on the door if they had a problem?
Well, yeah, I researched it for about 3 years before I jumped in. And then I did mention to both of my neighbors that I was going to do it. And they were both really intrigued and were kind of excited about it. So I didn't meet any resistance there.
Yeah, no, we didn't ask. We have a fairly enclosed yard, and we figured that they would be just about as manageable as a dog or a cat would be, and less noise. And mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much true. We did have a generation of pullets, and that's a young hen before she starts laying eggs, who they kind of get a little crazy in their teenage years, and they did start to fly over the fence into our neighbor's yard. So they flew really well. We clipped their wings and everything, and they still were able to fly. But they kind of grew out of that, and we put up little blinders so they couldn't see it. And they're not very crafty or smart creatures. So once that blind was up, it was like the other outer
didn't
world
exist.
Didn't exist anymore. Yeah,
they're more interested in what they can eat and where that is. So,
and my understanding is that in addition to what you feed them, they're pretty good for eating pests around the garden.
Oh, sure. You know, one of their favorite things to do is to scratch. They like to get out in the dirt and scratch for bugs. You know, they're, believe it or not, a chicken's primary diet is not manufactured chicken feed. You know, it's going to be greens,
grass,
and bugs and things like that. So they love grass. They love fresh greens. I have a big vegetable garden, so mine are a little spoiled. They get gourmet greens, you know, and herbs. They love basil. And so they'll get out into the garden and they'll eat bugs. They'll eat all those cabbage loopers that get on your broccoli this time of year, so you can just pick them off and throw them in the coop. They'll eat mosquitoes if they can catch them. You'll see them snipping in the air to catch bugs. So grasshoppers and things like that, they can be, you got 5 or 6 chickens in the backyard and they can do some work.
However, there is sort of an incompatibility sometimes with growing things and then having the chickens loose, because as you're growing them, they're eating them. We found that out the hard way. They ate a lot of our garden. So we had to build a fence to keep the mm-hmm. chickens out of the garden.
How much space do they need to run around?
Well, it depends on who you are and how you feel about it, really, because obviously a lot of chickens are raised with absolutely no room
yeah.
to move around. And then some are really free range. And there's a danger to that, too, because there are lots of predators.
Mm-hmm.
So ours have about a 6-foot by 15-foot run. And then they have a coop, which is just a little A-frame. I don't know how long it is, 8 feet maybe. You know, they just roost. They sit on a pole.
And you guys build that yourselves?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We just got scrap wood or just whatever we could find. I think we bought some things, and then my husband built it.
And, so. Leslie, I know one of the mm-hmm. things that you sell is these sort of prefab chicken McMansions.
It's a chicken. Actually, we sell a reasonably sized chicken tractor.
Mm-hmm.
It's an A-frame downstairs, upstairs, on wheels that you can roll around the yard. For somebody who wants to keep a small number of chickens, 3, 4, 5 chickens, it's great because it's going to fit in a small urban backyard and you can roll it around. But back to the space issue, what you're looking for in a coop where they sleep at night is about 2 square feet per bird. Ground roaming area within the enclosure, you're looking at about 4 square feet per bird. And then ideally giving them some free range time. Mine get free range time every day in the yard, but I'm out there with them working in the garden. We have hawks in Dallas and they like chickens. So you have to be careful. But, you know, an hour or so of time outside every day is great for them. And that's usually enough for them to get around and scratch and find some bugs and get sunshine. Direct sunlight is actually very important to the health of birds. It cuts down on all those diseases people freak out about with chickens.
Avian
sunlight,
flu and that sort of thing.
Which isn't an issue here. But sunlight actually destroys a lot of those viruses and bacteria. So you see a lot of those problems where chickens are confined without natural sunlight 24/7. A little bit of sunlight every day can cure a lot of ills. So just even an hour outside every day is enough to alleviate them feeling a little too cooped up, no pun intended. But
do you have to round them up at the end of the day and put them in their coop so that foxes and stuff don't get in there?
Chickens cannot see at all in the dark. So as it starts to get dark, they start to sort of know that they need to be in a safe place when it gets dark. So each evening as it gets dark, they sort of wander closer and closer to their coop, and they jump in and put themselves in. And if they don't have a coop, we have a little baby chicken who's we found her, so she didn't have the benefit of learning about that. She would find a tree and fly up into a tree, and we would have to go and look around and see which one she'd found that evening to roost in, and then we'd put her in the coop.
Although back to the personality issue, not all of them are as cooperative as you'd like them to be. So,
children.
Yes, it's amazing. While they will have a natural inclination to put themselves up, realize again, if they're unsupervised, you know, you do have to deal with the predator issue. And I have some, you know, they want to stay out, and I do have to do some rounding up from time to time. So the neighbors get a little bit of entertainment when they see me doing the sidestep dance, you know, to get them all in at the same time. If I can't be out there with them and it's not dusk yet, I do have to round them up because they don't want to go in before it's time. So,
but it sounds like once they've established your backyard as their home, there's not a great danger of them taking off.
No, they're just not very... The breed of ours that did fly, and they flew really well into their, and as even when they were adults, were Americanas. And I don't know, I think if you are interested in getting chickens, you definitely should look at a book and read the descriptions, because their descriptions are usually come true.
In terms of the breed personalities.
Yeah, Americanas are not all that... gentle or calm, or they're more, at least ours were more exploring and willing to fly. And they were the ones we had to kind of
I have three Americanas, and I found that my Polish hens are quite a bit more excitable and independent than the Americanas are. The Americanas tend to stay together, whereas my two Polish hens, their personalities are so individual. And I do have one Polish named Phyllis who will wander off if there are any holes in the fences or gaps that she can squeeze through. She kind of just likes to go off and do her own thing, and I have been seen trotting down the alley. But I've plugged up those little crevasses in the fence and since then haven't had an issue. But you can't predict. You have to pay attention to each individual bird and learn their personality and habits, and then you have to adapt to them to make sure they're safe.
How well do chickens coexist with other house pets, dogs and cats? Can you predict that?
Well, I think it's safe to say that if you have a hunting dog or some kind of, you know, terrier maybe, that you should, you know, chances are that dog is going to go after a chicken.
Yeah.
That didn't happen to us. But we have a dog who is a lab, and she just, they all coexist just fine. I'll look out, and they're all sleeping together in the sandbox. And the cat, we have a kitten too now. So they, I think it's breed by breed. You just, there are some breeds that are better. I think some livestock growers get Great Pyrenees dogs because they stay up all night and they'll guard the flock at night.
Wow.
But that's not a good dog necessarily, or a good reason to have one in the city, because you don't want them to be up all night barking.
Ramona, the Chihuahua, really could care less about the chickens, except for what they're getting to eat. So she's happy to sit by and see if she can't score spaghetti. She has been, I have trained her a little bit she will kind of nudge them out of the vegetable garden beds. I have raised beds for all my vegetables, and she's kind of learned that there's a place for them to be or where they're not supposed to be. And she's figured out that if she does successfully run them out of the vegetable garden, she can come back and get something out of the deal. So other than that, she's not a threat.
So we'll have to do another hour on herding chihuahuas.
Oh,
sometime.
It's a whole, the herding chihuahua. Yes.
Leslie Finical-Halleck, who is general manager of North Haven Gardens, is here. Journalist and backyard chicken farmer and gardener Sarah Perry is my guest as well. We'll continue our discussion about urban chickens in a moment, and you can join us by calling 1-800-933-5372 or sending email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies program, offering a progressive and customized graduate degree with flexible part-time study in Dallas and Plano. You can pursue your passion, and you can learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are journalist and backyard chicken farmer and gardener Sarah Perry and Leslie Finical Halleck, who is general manager of North Haven Gardens, which sells chicken supplies as well as, and she is also a chicken farmer herself in her yard. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. During the break, Sarah, we were talking about your kids, and they're pretty young, but they're sort of the primary chicken caretakers in your house.
Well, I wouldn't say that. They're supposed to be.
As with any pet.
Yes. But it's fairly easy for them to do, except maybe the heavy shoveling and really cleaning out that you want to make sure that's done really well. But they know how to give water. You know, they know how to do that, and they feed them. And what they're especially good at is catching them when we need to.
Designated chicken catcher is always a good thing to have around.
And they're, they really, I think they take pride in it, and they always want to show their friends, and they've loved giving the names to the chickens. So it's a really good way to kind of, I mean, I was saying during the break, I know about natural food and the difference between organic and mm-hmm. natural and buying local and trying to stay in that realm, but they don't. And so I think that raising something like chickens is a very simple way for them to learn about where their food comes from and how to do it.
Any reason to worry about chickens being aggressive or sort of pecking at a little finger or anything?
They can. I mean, roosters tend to be a little bit more of an issue, but since we can't have roosters in Dallas, you know, that's usually...
They'll take advantage. They definitely will. Mine chase squirrels. So
chickens.
If they could catch an adult, you know, a human being, I don't know. I would be afraid of what would happen. But which is not to say that they're mean. They're just opportunists, and they always are looking for food.
Well, mm-hmm. I think it depends on how they were raised. Again, if you've hand raised them from baby chicks, they're going to be a lot more docile with mm-hmm. you. If you've raised them from a pullet stage, they're going to be a little bit more wary. Mine eat out of my hands. They love the spaghetti noodles, and they do that. But they will.
But if you don't have anything in your hand, and you're a 3-year-old boy, you might be afraid when that chicken mm-hmm. comes looking for something to eat.
Size helps.
But they're still not mean. Yeah. They can't really hurt you. They're
right.
You know, so.
Right. So you don't want to send out a 3-year-old with a cracker that's his.
although we did give one of our chickens away. She was beautiful and Americana, and I named her after my grandmother, Elizabeth. But she was kind of mean. She chased me, and she chased me in a very aggressive way. So I just thought with my kids I couldn't. You know, and we found her a very good home, so.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Is it hard to find a second, you know, if you need to sort of pass on?
There's kind of an underground network, underground railroad for chickens, and especially for people who unfortunately find themselves with roosters in the city and have to rehome them. There is a network of people and farmers that we work with that were able to help. Now, realize that registered licensed farms can't take in birds that aren't registered to their flock because, you know, they have to be licensed and inspected by the state. So you are looking for friends and neighbors. The farmers we work with, for example, can't take in stray birds. He can help find homes for that. And there's a chicken meetup group in Dallas, and there's people that can get together and do that. But you have to be biosecurity is important for state inspected and registered flocks. So you do have to be aware of that.
I've actually given a chicken away to a farmer who I don't want to get, but I wouldn't want to make them break any rules by mentioning that. But
right. On the down low.
But no, I think it's fine. Correct. I think that one thing that we did with Elizabeth was we took her back to the feed store where we bought her in the first place, and they were
that's
very
okay.
Easily
you can do that.
Home
that's okay.
They have lots of people who come in and who look for chickens. And the other benefit was that she was already laying eggs, so that's
right in the perfect stage.
Yeah,
and they lay for about a year. Is that right?
Oh no!
No, they can lay for much longer.
Their whole life.
Yeah, it depends on the breed. And I've had one lady that I talked to said she had a lovely Buff Orpington, which tends to be a heavier, stockier breed, lay for 8 years. Wow. On average, you're looking at maybe 4 years of peak production, and that's going to taper off after that. And then it also depends on the lifespan of the bird, but it also depends on the quality of their life. You know, mm-hmm. what type of food they're eating. Do they have some free range time? Do they get sunshine? Is their water clean every day? All of those things matter.
About sunshine and egg laying is their eyes have to register a certain amount of sunlight in order to lay. So
correct.
During the winter, for example, they won't lay an egg a day like they do in the peak of summer.
Because they know there's not as many hours of light.
No, it has to do with the sunlight, getting the, you know, whatever rays are getting to their sun, mm-hmm. I mean to their eyes.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to Emmanuel in Southlake. Hey, Emmanuel.
Hi there. I have a couple of backyard hens, a New Hampshire Red and Barred Rock. And we used to feed them Leana. It's this Purina, I think, manufactured chicken food. Mm-hmm. They have stopped eating those, and mm-hmm. we do feed them some vegetable like tomatoes, but they're very picky about what kind of vegetables
they
do eat. What other alternatives can we feed them?
Well, you know, you want to make sure that you've got some protein in their diet. That's really what's going to contribute to their egg laying, you know, production and quality. So I don't know if you've tried any other type of layer pellet that's on the market. You may want to look at that. But greens are definitely important. Do they get any free range time?
Let's see. Emmanuel, do they have free range?
Yes. Almost all day.
Okay. So if they're out free ranging all day, they're probably getting a lot of protein from bugs and things that they're eating outside. What about any scratch? I mean, you can also provide them with some standard chicken scratch, which is going to have some dried corn and seed. That's also a good thing to do.
Well, actually, I think that if you bought Purina, this has happened to me before too, where you tend to buy from the same feed store each time. And then all of a sudden, they might not like that batch. And it could be just that it was stale.
Mm-hmm,
who knows?
Correct.
You know? So you might try just a different, the same kind. It's lay pellet or crumble or whatever you're used to, but a different brand. And there's each feed store tends to buy different brands. There's MFM. Mm-hmm. There's that's a brand of feed. And there's feed stores all over. There's Roach Feeds and Garland. There's John Silk Feed Store on Harry Hines and Royal. I think there's one in Farmers Branch, and now I've forgotten the name. But they're all over, and each one tends to carry a different kind of feed.
Do they eat their food fast enough that you don't have to worry about rats and squirrels thinking, hey, look at this cache
of food?
Oh,
no, we have lots of mice. That's what our cat is for now.
I haven't had a problem. I feed mine inside the run portion of their coop. So, that area is totally secure, actually 12 inches into the ground. So no rodents or anything like that can get into the coop. So their food is actually protected completely from any kind of predator. So I don't have any mice or rodent problems that I've identified. And I'll tell you, another thing that mine love is cooked spaghetti noodles.
Oh, cooked. I was assuming you were talking about
no.
raw.
So, and what I do find, like Sarah said, is they will get picky and they will randomly want to switch between different foods. So you can be feeding them some crumbles or pellets that they are eating fine for a month, and then you realize that they're just not eating much. So supplementing the greens and some things like rice grits, they'll really like corn, spaghetti noodles. Spaghetti noodles are cheap. I feed some to mine every day because they look like worms, so the chickens get really excited about it. If you really want to get fancy, you can throw some flax oil on there, too, to up your omega-3s in the eggs that you then are going to be eating. You just remember, whatever you're feeding your chickens, you're eventually going to be eating, so you want to give them high-quality food. So you might try some cooked spaghetti noodles and see how they respond to that. Mine absolutely love them, and they will run to me from across the yard when they see me wiggling at them. So it's fun, too. They'll eat them out of your hands.
Well, what they say is that they need I know some purists who say that what they really should only eat is chicken feet. and that that's got everything they need in it. Just kind of like a vet will tell you, don't feed scraps to your dog. It's really, they might like it, but it's not good for them. So, but different people think different things.
Yeah, I definitely believe that fresh greens and as part of their natural diet is really important. And I would never, I would never tell somebody to not feed their chickens fresh greens from the yard or the garden.
But what they say is that they need a grit. They need a certain, just like if you have a pet bird, they need a certain amount of sand or gritty thing that actually digests their food for them that they eat. And they need a lot of calcium in order to make the shells, good shells on their eggs. And free-range chickens get good calcium from grass and from other things that they eat. But if they don't have a lot of grass, you do need to make sure that they have that calcium. And you can buy crushed oyster shells. But scratch is actually like a snack.
Yeah, it's just, it's fine.
It's like giving them candy. So they shouldn't have it for a sole source of food.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Ben in Louisville. Hey, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Great. I had, up until recently, a backyard flock of 9 hens. I had 7 Rhode Island Reds and 2 Americanas. And the neighborhood absolutely loved them. All the kids in the neighborhood would come over to gather eggs and feed the chickens. The chickens actually became famous. They got on the Rachel Ray Show 2 years ago in the fall. And that was what led to their the undoing of my flock. Apparently, they became a little bit too famous. And the city of Louisville decided to come pay a visit to me.
Oh.
And when I originally got the chickens, I had called the city of Louisville to find out what the backyard poultry ordinances were and such, and the lady had no idea what I was talking about.
That's typical.
I'll call you back. So she called me back and she said, well, based on your lot size, you can have this many hens. So I thought, no problem, and I got the hens. And 2 years later, after the show had aired and the city came to visit, they said, oh, yeah, well, you can have this many hens based on your lot size, but we have a strict ordinance that says the coop must be located 500 feet from the nearest inhabited building.
Right.
And there are very few residential lots that have a spot on their lot.
Conveniently so. Yeah.
Right. So my question is, are most of these folks in the Metroplex that have backyard poultry kind of skating under the radar of ordinances, or are there actually most of the cities do have ordinances that permit you to have chickens in your backyard?
Well, the ordinances do vary city to city. So the first thing you need to do when you're doing your homework is really make sure you understand. Realize that many city employees are not familiar with this topic, and they are not necessarily going to know the right information to give you, you know, right off the bat. You're going to have to do your research. Dallas, the only restriction is roosters. So you can have as many hens as you want, and we don't have the same type of foot restrictions as to where the coop is and things like that. But other cities do, and some of them are very involved, and some cities you can't have them at all. Plano is an absolute no. I know there are a lot of people in Plano that want that change, so you need to go to your city council and deal with that. But it can be confusing for city employees, so you really have to do your homework. So in Dallas, as long as you don't have a rooster, you're not skating under the radar. But it really depends on what city you live in and exactly what the ordinance is. And in some cities, it goes down to acreage. If you have a certain amount of acreage, you can have birds. If you are on a smaller lot, you can't. Or if your home is only so many feet away from the home next door and you can't locate the coop far enough away, then that's going to be a problem. So before you have to suffer the heartbreak of having to give your birds away because the city comes down on you, you know, figure out what your ordinance is city by city before you spend the time and the money.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Next on the line, we have Aaron in Arlington. Hey, Aaron.
Hello. What a great show. I was really encouraged by all this. I have 4 ladies in my backyard.
Awesome.
And I just introduced, well, the 4th one, and the other 3 have stopped laying. I don't know if I've just upset them, if I've ruffled their feathers or what, but is there anything I can do to help stimulate the laying process again?
Are they loose or are they in a coop?
Well, they're loose all day, and they go into the coop at night by themselves.
Do you have bushes in your yard?
Yes. Or?
Well, you might find that they have started laying their eggs in a place that you just don't see, because that's happened to us several times. Over the summer, we let ours out because of the heat, so they could find some good shade. And we went out of town, we came back, and we found a pile of 25 eggs.
my goodness.
And I know there's some out there now that we just haven't found yet. So that could be that they are laying, you just don't know where.
Is it hard to find chicken sitters when you go out of town?
Oh, no. My neighbors clamored. My next door neighbor, I just got back in town. I was out of town for a week, and I had a couple of people ask, do I get to take care of the chickens, you know, while you're gone? And they get the eggs, so it's a bonus.
We did have one pet sitter come, and she was great. She had never done it before, and she was very meticulous about taking, you know, figuring out what exactly she needed to do, and that was very nice. I mean, the truth is it's a lot easier than she thought, so she had a good time.
Back to the previous question, because I don't think we finished answering his. In terms of the laying, stopping, they get into a routine, and they know their coop mates, and sometimes when you introduce new birds, any kind of disruption or stress can slow down laying. A dog that's around that stresses them out, or predator issues, or adjusting to a new situation. So, you know, you can have a temporary blip in production if they're a little stressed or circumstances changed. You know, it's a lot of work, you know, producing those eggs. And so sometimes you can have those ups and downs, and that's going to happen with temperature as well. When it's really, really hot, it's just, you know, when it's 107 degrees, they're going to shut down. And in fact, a lot of people across the country this year had really big drops in production over the heat of the summer. Everybody's kind of kicking back into gear right now. But so all of those different factors can contribute to that. So they may just need a little time to get to know each other, too.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to Marnie in Denton. Hi, Marnie.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. I lived in Louisville also for many years, and I had raised chickens. I had Dominickers and Rhode Island Reds. And if you don't know, Dominickers are prized for their feathers for fishing lures.
Very pretty.
And I raised them together, and they were just such a wonderful asset to my family. And I took them to preschools, and I had a hat.
I do that.
Chicken lady, and you know, a lot of people have never seen, like you were saying earlier, where their food comes from.
Exactly.
And it was such a wonderful experience, but I had a variance is actually what I did through city council.
You can do that.
Yeah, so that helped me, but
good for you.
Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just said good for you that you took that step.
Oh, thank you. Well, it was just so meaningful to the neighborhood, and I really had their support, so.
That's great.
I'm wondering, though, what do you all do? My experience ended in divorce.
Oh, no.
with my husband, so I had to find a home for them. But since they don't lay forever and they live like 20 years, what do you plan to do after your chickens are done laying?
Let's get the answer to that after our break. Marnie, thank you so much for your call. Our telephone number, if you'd like to be the next online, is 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. Urban chicken farmers Sarah Perry and Leslie Finical-Halleck are my guests today. We'll be back in a minute.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies program, offering a progressive and customized graduate degree with flexible part-time study in Dallas and Plano. You can pursue your passion, and you can learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're talking this hour about urban chicken farming with Leslie Finical-Halleck, who is general manager of North Haven Gardens, and journalist and backyard chicken farmer and gardener Sarah Perry. If you'd like to join us, you can send email to think@kera.org. I was thinking about this last night. I buy organic eggs, but I confess I don't really think that much about how they taste because they always sort of taste similar. Can you tell the difference in the taste of the eggs that you raise?
I think so.
I agree.
Especially like say around March when the grass starts really turning green and you're going from them having a diet primarily of chicken feed to and scraps, but really chicken feed to all of a sudden they have this grass, this wonderful grass. And last spring they discovered our honeysuckle for the first time and their eggs were really good. So you can definitely tell a difference. And I don't buy eggs anymore, so I don't know, or not that many. So I don't really know how that the organic eggs that you buy taste better than any
other
kind.
There's a big difference. Being out of town, we purchased some organic eggs. The eggs that you're going to get from your backyard chickens, if they've got a good diverse diet, you're going to notice that they're going to be a lot denser. You get a lot more egg for your money. The yolks are going to be bright, bright orange because they're getting fresh greens. They're getting that vitamin C in there. Your omega-3 fatty acid content is much higher. It's hard to describe, but there's just a fresher flavor. And depending on what they're eating, that can change the flavor a little bit. If you want to maintain that, now's the perfect time to get your cool season garden in. You can go greens and chards and spinaches all winter long through next May. So if you're growing those in your garden, then your chickens don't have to give that up for the winter too. So that's something to think about. You can continue to feed them those high quality greens through the winter as well. So it definitely makes a difference.
Will they keep for a couple of days outside the refrigerator, or do you instantly pop them in the fridge when you harvest them?
It depends on the temperature outside. Those 25 eggs we found in the bushes, we threw them all away because we didn't know how old they were.
This was a summer vacation, I take it.
Yeah. But even if it was a different time of year, there's just to be on the safe side, you know, a couple days at the longest.
There's another factor, though, actually. When the chicken lays the egg, it actually has a membrane around it. So if you wash them, then yes, you've got to put them in the refrigerator right away. If you don't wash them, fresh backyard eggs, you can actually, unless your home is really, really warm, you can set those in a bowl out on the table for up to about a week safely without being refrigerated. Again, depending on the temperature of your home. But once you wash that membrane off, then they need to go into the fridge. So if you've sat them out for a few days or up to a week at that point, it would probably be a good idea to go ahead and put them in the fridge. But then they're going to keep for a pretty long time in the refrigerator as well. So you get that cool extra bonus from those fresh laid eggs that they don't really have to go right into the fridge. And what's great about that is you can make homemade things like fresh mayonnaises and things like that and really not have to worry about some of the issues that you might with eggs from the grocery store.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Nancy in McKinney. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is a great show today. And what you just said a moment ago about the color of the eggs based on their diet, I can attest to that. I buy free-range eggs from a local farmer every week, and they are beautiful. And the texture of them is also fabulous. But the two questions that I wanted to ask you today, one, a minute ago you said something about knowing the difference between organic and natural. I'd like you to clarify that. And also I'd like to know how your cat coexists with the hens. And I'll take my answers off the air.
Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm. Well, organic is really, you really can't call something organic unless it can be certified organic. So if you're buying eggs that are called organic, it means that those chickens have been fed with organic grain. And so that's one distinction. Natural, there's all different kinds of eggs you can buy in the store. There's natural, which I don't really know what that means as far as mass-produced eggs. But there's free-range chickens, which I think technically they really only have to be out in the dirt for a couple hours, you know,
I don't
in
even
their
think
lifetime.
That. In fact, the technical definition is they just have to have access to the outdoors.
Right.
So legally, they don't even have to get any outside time to be called free-range on the carton.
So they're not necessarily in this idyllic field somewhere prancing around.
And actually, an organic feed is very expensive. It's very hard to get. I think there might be one feed mill in Texas that makes truly organic feed for chickens, which is why when you do buy organic eggs, it's very expensive because, you know, I looked into buying organic feed when I first got our chicks, and the closest two places I could find were Iowa and Virginia, and it was going to be very expensive to ship it. So we just went ahead and bought the grains that we could get around here and, you know, just hope that they're actually grown, the grain is grown and processed here, which if you buy, I think there was a story in the paper a couple years ago, chicken producers, Tyson and so forth, use feed in such vast quantities that they actually buy it from overseas. Mm-hmm. And there was a melamine problem at that time in the feed, and they had to stop chicken production for a couple days until they sorted that out. And I don't know how it was resolved. I'm hoping I don't buy my my feed is not coming from those places. But
right. There is a producer of truly organic feed in Texas, and at North Haven, where I'm actually looking to try to get that in the store because there's such a demand for it. And I'm still working on it and trying to get it in bags instead of bulk. So I'll keep you posted on that. But
Do you buy it 5 pounds at a time? 50. 20 pounds?
50.
Usually. Yeah, okay. 50. But, you know, right now what I can get up for the store would be 55, gallon drums. So it's a little inconvenient. Still working on that. But what someone can do at home is to really make sure, again, like we've repeated over and over, get those greens, get those natural things into their diet. But, you know, don't assume that what you buy at the store that has those words on it means that what you're getting is a 100% organic. Natural can mean a lot of different things. Organic means that from start to finish, they've certified organic feed, no hormones, no antibiotics, and realize that all of those things translate directly into the eggs. So if your chicken is getting antibiotics, you will be eating those antibiotics. And there's no way around that. And commercial chicken farms, their chickens are on antibiotics pretty much all the time. It's in their feed. Okay. If I treated my chickens at home with antibiotics, that label on that packet says that I can't harvest those eggs for a minimum of 2 weeks after I finish the antibiotic cycle, because all of those things that the chicken is taking in go right into the egg. So you just have to be aware that what they're eating, you will then eat. So,
although one, if you buy chicken to eat at the grocery store and you look on the package, there's a little small print writing there that says there's a federal law against giving hormones to chickens. So that's not part of the organic.
Can you find a vet in urban Dallas if you have a sick chicken, or are they inexpensive enough that you just let a sick chicken die?
Both. I think there are some vets. There are definitely some vets.
ABC. ABC vet, I believe, will take chickens.
Mm-hmm. But and obviously there are vets that will treat larger flocks. Mm-hmm. So if you really needed somebody, you could find somebody.
Let's go back to the phones now, and this time we will go to Jeff in Allen. Hey, Jeff.
Hi. So glad I got you guys. Chris, thank you for having Leslie on the show. Rocks.
Well, welcome.
Hey, I live in an unincorporated area right on the line of Lucas and Allen. And the nice thing is I can have as many chickens as we want. We don't. We only have 10. We have about 4 acres, a barn. The coop is attached to the barn, which faces, the coop faces due west. And it's a very nice coop. I've kind of spoiled my chickens. I feed them Laena, supplement, and then I also give them crushed corn, and we have a 2-year-old daughter and a 3.5-year-old boy who have been trained to leave their apple cores and feed them to the chickens, and then occasionally I'll even go and spoil them with worms and grubs. But the Americuna that we have has not laid in probably 7 months and has lost a lot of weight, and the buff is kind of the light of the show for the chickens. She's always eating, always happy, always laying eggs. I was curious if we went out with the young kids, obviously a rooster, you always want to be concerned about them pecking and stuff with the kids, but I was going to try and get a rooster, but I also wanted to be mindful of my neighbors, even with 4 acres. You know, roosters can be a little loud. Do you have any suggestions? Do you know that whether or not having a rooster will help the mentality of my girls and get them to kind of lay a little bit better. And the other thing is there anything you can tell me about how to help keep snakes out other than sulfur, snake repellent, snake away, and mothballs? And I'll take my answer off the air.
He's covered a lot of the bases on snakes. Yeah. On the bird that's not laying, I guess, initially I would ask, number one, how old is the bird? If the bird has lost weight, and, you know, you have to get into these things when you have chickens. You'd have to ask about the consistency of the droppings. You know, does it seem to be like they're looser, more watery? Mites are a common problem.
Worms
and mites are a very common problem, especially if on your property you've got a lot of other wild birds. They carry mites, and mites, you really have to get in and inspect the skin. You'll see them crawling around, but they can really cause a drop in egg production, a drop in weight, Worms are also a big issue that would cause that weight drop. So it may be that, you know, you really got in and you need to get in close and do a thorough health inspection on that bird, especially if your others are still laying okay, unless it's an age issue, unless she's coming to the point where she's done laying eggs.
Although they do say that once one chicken catches something, the others are very likely to catch
definitely.
It.
You
treat them as a flock. And you could call a feed store. Again, Roach Feeds in Garland on Main Street they're very knowledgeable about chickens. And there's just so many things that they could have, so many problems that they could have. This might be the time to ask a vet also.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of, what was the other question?
Snakes.
The snakes.
I'm confused. Snakes could be good. They could be eating rodents. So it depends on what kind of snakes you're talking about, whether they are eating the eggs or
whether...
He may
have had a problem. You know, definitely snakes are usually an issue as a predator with young chicks or very small, or the eggs. Usually larger chickens, the snake's not going to be in too good a company. The bigger chickens are going to make a meal out of the snake. So if, you know, really, again, if you're on a big property out in the country, snakes are just going to be there. That's an issue. The coop or the run where they're secured needs to have some below the soil surface protection. So, you know, with your the wire or whatever you've built the coop with needs to go down 12 inches around the base, around the foundation of that to keep anything from sliding underneath or digging underneath. But all of the things that Jeff was using are pretty effective snake repellents. And if they're still getting through that, it's pretty tough. Dogs are good, too, when it comes to snakes.
Well, he mentioned having little ones, so I would imagine.
The little ones, usually, again, with bigger, full-grown hens, especially if you've got a group of them, snakes usually can't get through that. But they can be a problem with eating the eggs and the baby chicks. Mm-hmm. So I'm afraid I don't have a better solution for that.
Your other caller asked about cats and chickens.
Oh, right.
That. Our cat is a young cat, and he was interested in chasing them at first. But our chickens are pretty tough, and they just have trained him. They just look at him, and he goes away. So I think...
Stray cats can be an issue. I know I've got a couple running around in the neighborhood that I have caught in the yard just sort of waiting to
see.
They're
kind of interested, but I think chickens are pretty tough creatures.
I've caught two of my Americanas staring the cat down, and the cat didn't really make a move. But, you know, it is a situation that could be a problem.
Maybe
and
for younger chickens.
Exactly.
Chicks
so you have
smaller.
To keep an eye on that. So cats and birds in general, I wouldn't exactly put them in a place where they're going to cohabitate or anything like that, because you do have to always realize that could be a problem.
We just have about a minute left. Maybe each of you can tell us in 30 seconds anything that you think people who want to do this need to understand before they make the smallest investment in keeping backyard birds.
Well, I was going to suggest the state fair is about to start in October 10th is a Saturday, and that is the day, the poultry show. It's actually 9th, 10th, and 11th, but I think the 10th is the best day to go. You can look at all the beautiful breeds. There's some pretty serious breeders there, and there will be people there to answer questions, and also get some books. Mm-hmm. There's one called Keep Chickens that's really good. I saw recently there's Raising Chickens for Dummies. Mm-hmm. So that's a good resource.
Great. Yeah, I think you need to do your research. You need to check on ordinances with your city first before you do anything. That needs to be goal number one. At North Haven, we have regular classes every third Saturday of the month. You can come in at 10 o'clock in the morning. We've got a Q&A and educational programs. We have farmers that come and will actually sell pullets to you that have been vaccinated. We can do Q&A. We have several people on staff that can answer questions. We carry the books. So check out your local resources, who can help you face-to-face, and that's always a good way to do your research.
Leslie Finical-Halleck is General Manager of North Haven Gardens. Sarah Perry is a journalist. Both are backyard chicken farmers. It's been great to have you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.